Welcome to the anointed teaching and preaching at Arena of Life Church and Ty Jones Ministry. We believe that you'll be blessed by this message you're about to hear.
It's been amazing to me as I read Jesus fasted for 40 days. When the devil said, command these stones to become bread, I'm telling you, everything I see looks like bread. In fact, some of us were 2 weeks in, and I've been thinking about this, all the time when I'm trimming a horse, if there's a dog there, they eat all the trimmings. The trimmings are looking mighty tasty to me at the time and place that I'm at this place. But it's amazing to me, and I really believe God's doing some great things in a lot of your lives. In fact, I've heard so many testimonies of how God has opened some doors. You guys have heard this before, and I've told you this story. I remember when me and Brandy were dating, and we were at this auto glass place, and Brandy was getting a new windshield. And we were just some young kids, and anyways, they were putting us on the back burner and putting us at the last spot, not really worried about, us, because we're just some young people. And I remember when Brandy finally said, my dad is Ty Jones, she pulled the dad card. And I remember they went to rat racing around there. They started moving some things around, and they got Brandy's pickup in there, and we were the first ones in line to get it fixed. Another area I remember this, I'm going somewhere with this, so just bear with me here. I remember when I first came back after school, I was at Southwestern Assembly of God University, and then I came here to Amarillo, where most of my family was, where I grew up. We'd moved to Colorado, and I had came back. And when my father was here, he was on staff at a church here for quite some time. But before that, he worked at UPS for several years. And my dad told me, when you go back to Amarillo, you ought to put in an application and get a job at UPS. Get some of them cute brown shorts. And so, I remember going, and I filled out an application there. I filled another one out online. And so I ran into somebody, and he said, no, go do this. And so I went out. And I was at UPS, and I was filling it out. And this guy comes up to me, and he says, you Travis Bennett? I said, yes, I am. He said, is your dad Donnie Bennett? I said, yes, he is. He said, man, he was the best boss that I ever had. I really love your dad. You are hired. What I'm going at is this. Sometimes we need to be reminded of who our dad is. Sometimes we need to get to a place. See, when I told him who my father was, doors begin to open up. And it's amazing. We've been doing this for 21 days, and hopefully you've been in to start a habit, because God has an authority on the inside of you to speak to some things, and he's your baby daddy. He is your daddy. And I'm telling you, he can move mountains. He can part the Red Sea. He can do amazingly, abundantly above things inside of your life, but we got to put him first. Amen? And so, I'll get back to my text here. In Matthew chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, this is a great text. We're going to continue talking about breaking bad. And in this text is the Sermon on the Mount. This is a famous passage of Scripture. If you don't know this, I encourage you to read this. It starts in chapter 5 and goes through 7. And Jesus is preaching to the people here. And he says in verse 33, and this is a famous text that all of us should know. In fact, we've been talking about this and haven't even shared the scripture, but it says, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And then it goes in verse 1 of chapter 7. He continues here. The writer here makes it a different chapter, but he is continually in this, the Sermon on the Mount. And this is a passage of Scripture that most potheads know, but I want to encourage you as Christians to know it. It says, judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Some of you girls need to do that. Send him a text right now. You can have your pearls back, you pig. All right. Verse 7. That was for somebody. I don't know who it was us for. Maybe that was my own text. I'm just saying. All right. Verse 7. Stay on task, Travis. You can do this. Okay. Ask, and it will be given to you. This is something that you need to know, authority of the believer. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. God, we come before you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share your word this morning. Lord, I pray that you direct my words. I pray for the sick right now, those that are sick. I want you to stand in the gap for them, that you can think of the person that's sick. I pray for Pastor Robert even, Lord. I pray Psalm 107, verse 20, you sent your word and healed them. I pray Isaiah 53 and verse 5, the chastisement of your peace was upon them, and by your stripes they are healed. God, I pray 1 Peter 2:24, by your stripes they are healed. You said in Psalms you heal all diseases, from biggest cancer, from heart disease, all the way to cold and flu. And so, Lord, I know that you heal all diseases. And so, Lord, we speak to those, that may they be healed. Lord, open our ears this morning to hear your word. Use me at your discretion. May my lips be like the pen of a ready writer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm happy you're here this morning. If you guys have been here, I'm just going to do a quick recap of what we've been talking about breaking bad in our life. It's a new year, and I'm going to do my best. It's a new year. I'm going to talk a little bit slower today. Some of you are like, man, you were like Speedy Gonzalez. I get a little fired up sometimes. I'm going to try not to, all right? I told you on Wednesday night, a preacher yells and a teacher tells. I'll try to teach to you a little bit more, but there may be times where preach came on me, and I just can't help it, all right? But here's the deal. We've been learning this through Baking Bad, and we're trying to start new habits in our life, God habits in our life, and getting rid of the things that we discover and we try to put ahead of those God habits in us. We saw that Aristotle said this, we are what we repeatedly do, and we find this out in our life. If you don't believe me, just look at your life. We form habits, and then our habits begin to form us. You may have the habit of, as soon as you come home, you go straight to the Barca Lounger, you sit there, and you begin to change. You're searching, you're hunting for the next big show, and you're wondering why your family's going apart, but your habits are now beginning to form around you, and you don't know why. And that's why, because they begin to form us. Most people have uphill hopes and downhill habits. We do have these uphill hopes. We have hopes for a better tomorrow, and hope's a great strategy. Hope's a great thing. I've preached hope. In fact, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You can't have faith without hope. You have to have hope. Hope is a good thing. But if that's all that you have, it will stunt you from going to the next place in your life. We've got to have some uphill habits. Everything worthwhile in your life is uphill. Amen? Y'all believe me with that. It's uphill. And here's the deal. You may be in here, and it's the first time you've heard this. You hadn't heard the first two messages, and you're thinking, there is no way I can do this. Almost went to my hick voice again. I don't know why I want to do that, but there ain't no way I'm going to be able to do this. That you be saying them things to me, and propine and everything else. You know, and there's, I don't know why I want to do that, but I did it the first week. I didn't do it last week. What's wrong with me? But here's the thing. We think to ourselves, there's no way that I'll ever amount to anything else. If you knew my grandpappy's pappy's pappy and my pappy's pappy, this is just who we are. But God begs to differ and says, I have a plan and I have a purpose for your life. And so you need to get on board and quit acting like that. There's four habits that we'll be going through, and God's going to help us do this. But the text that we've read from the very beginning is found in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm going to read this out of the Message translation. Please go along with me. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Like we said, we can't do this without his help. But take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become as well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, listen. Fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. develops well-formed maturity in you. He says from the inside out, God will begin to do a new work on the inside of you. And it'll begin to change the way that we live, that our life. Another translation, New King James, and most of you heard it. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so week one, we talked about this. We talked about the first. And it's focus on what we do first. And lots of you that were here, I want to encourage you to continue to do that. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We see that God is a God of first. In the beginning was God. We see that from Genesis chapter 1. We see it in Revelation chapter 1. It tells us the first book of the Bible, the last book of the Bible, talks that he is the first and he is the last. He won't take any other place in your life. He'll only take first. If he's on your list and he's not at the top, he don't want on your list. So you got to put him on the top. And one of the things why we're doing a 21-day fast is because we're saying, God, this year, we want to put you first. We're putting you ahead of everything else. And I believe God's going to open up big, big doors inside of your life. Last week, we talked about controlling our thoughts. And it's important. Did that help anybody last week? I hope you thought about that this week as you went through your life. You got to change the way that you think even about yourself. And what we do is we think so much on the problem and we forget about the promise. But through his word, we need to think on the promise and not on the problem. And as we begin to see the plans that he has for us to give us a future, to give us a hope, it changes our whole mentality of the way that we will do our life. So quit looking behind you. Quit thinking of what happened yesterday. You think about today. Amen? Here's the third habit, and I'm excited to share this with you because I see this lots of times in believers' life. They don't go to the next place in their life because they don't realize this, and you need to realize it. Here's the third one. Keep my life aligned with my purpose. Keep my life aligned with my purpose. Here's the third one. Keep my life aligned with my purpose. Let me explain this. I was a youth pastor for many years, 13. And you know, as I look back on that time, and I've been shoeing horses for many years as well, but anything that all of you that maybe something you've done for a long time, you go through the who, what, when, where, and how, all that and why. But see, we start asking those questions. You know, the who was different all the time. In all the years, I had great people that I served the Lord with in ministry. And the who changed all the time. Not who up there, but who across my life changed all the time. The what changed from time to time. It was amazing how ministry was a lot different from the beginning. And 13 years later, kids are different, dealing with different issues and different things in their life. Where changed, like we had camp and times of the year that we did things. The when changed from time to time. But I'll tell you one thing that never changed. The thing that never changed, and it's important that it doesn't change, whether it's in your job, occupation, being a parent, for whatever it is, the why doesn't need to change. Because when the why changes, you forget the whole plan and the purpose of why you're doing it. The other things might change, but the why does not. Let me break it to you down like this. I go to a chiropractor, all right? And there's times that I need to go to the chiropractor. If you don't believe in one, that's fine. I'm just saying that I do. Don't cast judgment because I do. But there's times, my chiropractor, I'll lay on my stomach on that table, put my face in the hole, and he'll say, do you have any trouble anywhere? And lots of times it's in my neck, and he'll say, all right, give me your leg. I'm like, no, brother, it's my neck. It's not my leg. He's like, no, give me your leg. And so I'll give him my leg, and I'll put a little pressure on it, and he'll start feeling all over my back, and he'll find different places. Or, you know, there's times where I'll be on my back, and I'll say my hip hurts, and he goes, all right, give me your hand. I'm like, no, no. And he'll start pressing on my hip, and then my ear hurts. I'm like, what's going on, all right? What's the matter with me, doc? And so what he begins to tell me is it's referred pain is what it is. And so we might have the problem may or the pain may be inside of your neck, but the problem is somewhere else. I may have a pain inside of my neck, but the problem is down somewhere in my hip or somewhere else. This is why I go to him so he can figure these things out. And so I put pressure somewhere, and he begins to find where the problem is so we can fix the pain that's somewhere else. See, lots of Christians and lots of people in their life, they have a pain in this particular area, but that's not the problem. The problem's way over here, but you're seeing pain in this area. You're seeing pain as a parent, but the problem's really over here of something that you have not dealt with. There's a sin that maybe you haven't confessed or whatever that you're dealing with behind closed doors. The pain may be over here, but the problem's way over here. Am I making sense this morning? That happens lots of times, and it's blinded to us, but that's what happens. And I'm telling you, if you get in aligned with your life, aligned with your purpose, this will bring definition to your time, to your money, to your family. If you know why you're here, it will bring healing to so many areas in your life. And this is why this is important. You need to know this, because you have a purpose. And somebody needs to know that. You've lived your life. Maybe your parents have told you one other thing, but there's a purpose of why you're living this earth. You have a purpose. Life will have a hard time making sense at all until you know why you're here. You have so many problems in so many other areas of your life. You have pain in this area because the problem is you don't know why you're doing what you're doing. And the Bible tells us this in Psalm 139 and verse 16. This is New Living Translation. It says, "You saw me before I was born." That's good to know. He's not talking about like a 4D sonogram. He's talking about he saw your life, how you were living it out, who you were supposed to be, God, you being you. He said, "I saw you before you were born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book." I read this the first time this week, and I thought to myself, man, I've added a few chapters to those. I've added some times in my life where I actually wasn't serving the Lord, and I've added a few chapters to that book, but thank God he wrote a book about me, amen? "Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." Another one is this, Ephesians 2:10. And if you don't know this as a believer, you need to know this scripture. Get this on the inside of you. It's very important that we do this. "For we are God's masterpiece." I think of the Mona Lisa. I think of the Sistine Chapel. You know why? There's no other Mona Lisa but that Mona Lisa. There is replicas that they know are replicas, but there's only one Mona Lisa. There's only one Sistine Chapel. Yeah, they tried to do it at the Venetian in Las Vegas, Nevada. But here's the deal. There's only one. And when God made you, for we are God's masterpiece, he only made one of you. And in you, that one he made for a plan and for a purpose. You need to know that. Somebody needs to know that this morning. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You know, I believe that this morning. I believe that before we were even born, before we were here on this earth, God had something ahead of us that he wanted us to do. He had a plan. He had a purpose for our life. Before we were even ever born. We need to, you know what we need to do? This is hashtag worthy, all right? We need to live by design and not by default. We need to do what God's called us to do rather than what everybody else has us to do. And this goes to my second point, because there's competition for my time and my attention. You know, my kids' coaches, volleyball coaches, baseball coaches, they have these plans and schedules for my life. You parents know what I'm talking about. I have all these plans for my life. In fact, credit card companies, what's in your wallet? They have a plan for my life. They have all these things that they want Travis Bennett doing. But if you don't define your life and how you want to live it, the rest of the world will define it for you. And you have to make a conscious decision that how you're going to live your life. We start adding and adding, looking at other people, checking out Facebook. I think to myself all the time, Lord, forgive me for having thoughts against B.B. Barber. His life is so much cooler than mine. And so I think to myself, I got to add a few more things because my life sucks compared to his. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? I follow these other people. I'm thinking to myself, what am I doing wrong? But we think to ourselves, that's going to make us happy. We will buy way too much garbage, and we try to fit way too much in. We have this motto. We have this motto, more is better. And we think to ourselves, $1 is good, but two is? All right, very good. You caught on real quick. I'm proud of you guys, all right? One donut is good, but two is? I agree. Amen. I'm speaking to it, though, Rick, all right? One House is good. Two is? All right, very good. You guys are doing good. One pair of pants is good, but two is? One kid is good. Two is? Some of y'all had to think about that. No! Oh, man. Lord. Yes, I get it. Totally. All right. One wife is good. Two is wrong. Don't you dare say yes to that. Who's better? All right. Better watch it, Jimmy. I don't want you having two. In fact, that just reminds me right now. I remember being in a Bible class at Southwest Assembly of God. I remember this kid raised his hand. He goes, hey, can I have a question theologically. Why did Solomon have so many wives? The professor real calmly said, because he was hoping that he'd come home to one that was in a good mood. All right, forgive me for even saying that. Don't cast judgment on me, okay? Anyways, stay on task, Travis. An overwhelmed schedule will often produce an underwhelmed soul. And it will. I know these are practical things. You're like, man, you're not getting deep, deep, deep in the Word of God. But I've seen people that are deep, deep, deep in the Word of God and don't know how to raise a family. And these are things that will take over us. An overwhelmed schedule will often produce an underwhelmed soul. We wonder why we have pain in our marriage, but the problem isn't there. The pain may be there, but the problem's somewhere else. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, better is a handful of quietness than two hands full of toil and striving after the wind. I find that to be so much true. So true all the time. Better is a handful of quietness than two handful of toil and striving after the wind. It's better not to do a particular thing that you're being pressured in. People are asking, I can't believe you're not doing this, but it's rather not to do that than to be in it and have all these juggling sticks everywhere else and it just goes like the wind. Next thing you know, your family's raised and out of the home and you were never there because you had all these other things in front of it. Am I helping somebody this morning? Here's the third one. Because time is short, you are one day closer to dying. Hi, my name's Travis, and I'm here to help you this morning. But here's the truth. That's true. We're one day shorter. You know, in fact, as I read this, I'm no eschatologist. An eschatologist is one who predicts the end of the world. You know, my whole life, I've been saved for most of that. My whole life, I've been told that Jesus is coming back this year. I'm telling you, June the 28th this year. I can't believe he did not come back. I can't believe he didn't come back during Y2K. I can't believe he didn't come back in 1988 when there was a book out called 88 Reasons Jesus is Coming Back This Year. But they forget that scripture. No one knows the day or the hour, but I will say this. I read Matthew chapter 24, and I see all the things that Jesus talks about that will happen at the end of time, especially those that get offended over nothing. And so I look at all of these different things and I think to myself, either at least, if not one, all of them are not being fulfilled or they're in the process of being fulfilled right now. So I'm telling you, I'm not predicting a day because that's stupid. I'm not getting on a Mayan calendar and see when the Indians, you know, did Chief Rusty Butt of the Nowapi tribe dance around a mountain or whatever. And it's going to go back to this day, but I will say this, you better be ready. Because time is of the essence. And here's the deal, are you going to be at a place in your life where you are or you're not? Time is short. We're on limited time. We can't afford to live these casual lives. James 4, 13 through 15 says this. This is the English Standard Version. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. It says very casual, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. I think about that when you're boiling eggs or whatever it is, and that mist that goes up into the air and then pew, it's gone. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Can I tell you something? In fact, I read a book years ago by John Maxwell called Today Matters, and it changed my whole outlook on lots of things in my life. But today does matter. And this can be difficult. You know, because you can be caught up in one particular thing, and we can always say tomorrow. In fact, that's why Carole King wrote the song, "Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you, tomorrow." Nobody ever sang, "Today, today, I hate you, today." Right? There's times where we think that. We're like, when we're in the moment, we're thinking to ourselves, this is gnarly. I can't wait for today in and tomorrow to begin. Where one road ends and the other one begins. I won't sing George Strait, but I'm just saying you. I may be on a singing kick this morning, but here's the deal. I hope you're getting my point. Today matters. Time is of the essence. Today matters. You need to know these things. God has a plan, a purpose for your life. And we need to not start tomorrow, but we need to start today. You're living right now how you will be remembered tomorrow. I want you to think about that as a dad. I want you to think about that as an employer. I want you to think about that as a grant, whatever it is. You'll never change your life until you change what you do every single day. You know what the definition of insanity is? Doing the same thing over and over and over, thinking you'll get different results. That's insanity. Don't be insane. But here, what I see lots of times in our life, we get caught up on one particular thing, and I see this, that we're like a DVD that's scratched. How many of y'all have ever had a DVD that's scratched? You get to that same part, and then it starts the whole thing back over again. Addison had a movie. I've never seen the whole thing, but I've seen about one quarter of it. The one quarter of it, I can quote the whole movie. Because it gets to that same place, and then it starts a whole movie back over. But you know what? People in lives, they do that all the time. They get to their this place in their walk with Christ, and a little bit of pushback happens. And you know what? They start the movie all back over again. They go back to step one. They go back to their old life. They're like Peter. Fishing never was wrong anyway. I'm going back to fishing. I'm going back to my old life, to my old way. And then you get fired up. You get hope. Like we talked about, you get hope. But you get to that place in your life that where the DVD scratched and you go right back to step one. We got to start today, not tomorrow. Am I making sense this morning? I hope I'm helping somebody start thinking about their life. You gotta have these God habits. And here's the thing. Other habits are good. You're saying, you know what, in 2018 I'm going to learn how to play the guitar. I think that's great. Have somebody else teach you because I'm not that good. But here's the deal. You need to do those things. Or maybe this year you're going to start yoga. I think that's great, Gumby. But here's the deal. You need to have God habits in your life. It's pivotal. It's life-changing if we do this. We are to find what happens is this. Okay, there's 3 points that I'm going to share with you real quick. Decide what is important and make time for it. If you're taking down notes, write that down. Decide what is important. And make time for it. I know this is practical teaching, but this can help you if you'll listen to me, because I'm here to help you. Decide what's important and make time for it. We are defined by the urgent and not by the important. How many of y'all notice that? What is urgent today? But really, what's important? Somebody's being called out. I hear it. Nobody has ever said on their deathbed, I wish I could shoot just one more horse, or I could spend one more day at the office. You know what you need to do? We need to learn how to put our priorities in the right spot. The first week I was here, I told you a Boudreaux joke. I got another one for you if you guys want one. Looks like y'all could use a joke. Been a little hard on you this morning. Hopefully you open your eyes to some things. But Boudreaux, he was at the Super Bowl. Super Bowl's coming up. I'm excited about it. Corey, I'll get you out of here in just a little bit to watch the Patriots. And Boudreaux, he's sitting there, and he, you know, he spent all these money on these tickets, and there was an empty seat beside him. And they went through the first quarter, and I'm telling you, these seats are not good. These are the best. They're about halfway up, 50-yard line. And anyways, he's sitting there, and the guy on the other side of the empty seat, he says to him, he says, "Hey, man, what's the empty seat for?" He said, "Oh, it's for my late wife." He goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry." He goes, "Yeah, she died. It's a bad deal." He goes, "Man, I think that's great. You have it in memory." But he said, "Do you know how much these seats are? I mean, obviously you do, how much these seats are worth. These are worth $1,000. He goes, "Why didn't you at least give it to one of the family members?" He said, "I couldn't." He said, "Why not?" He said, "They're all at the funeral." Here's the deal. Sometimes our priorities are a little out of whack, right? Oh, Brandy, I would never do that. Unless it was the Cowboys. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Just kidding. All right. That would be a miracle of God, but you know what? I'm fasting and praying for it. Here's the deal. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7 and 8. Y'all like that? Boudreaux, he may be back next week. I don't know. Philippians 3, 7 through 8 says this in English Standard Version. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul's saying this, I've been a lot of places. I've done a lot of things. I've been there. I've done that. I've seen greatness. But here's the deal. It's all garbage. It's no good compared to what God has done in my life. It surpasses it all. How many of y'all can attest to that? For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Garbage. Rubbish. In order that I may gain Christ. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to decide what is important, then make time for it. You're going to have to decide that. All week long, I've wrote down notes for this message, little things that God's given me over the last couple of the days. I wrote them down. I had all those notes out. I got up yesterday morning. I was doing that. Then me and Anson, we went and shod several horses yesterday. I had a very busy day. And then I came home, and I needed to go work on that message. And really, I thought to myself, this is stupid. I'm going to be preaching to these people tomorrow, and I have not spent any time with these kids. Addison was away, so you know what I did? I went out to the trampoline. I got a belt, and I tied it around my big belly. Anson got on there, and I'm telling you, open the gate, nod for eight. I went as many rounds as I could, him riding the bull on my back on that trampoline, and Catch was on the trampoline, bouncing up and down, rolling in and time to time. But here's the deal. We got to make time for the things that are important to us. And you're going to have to take time. It was important to me to have this message and present the gospel to you. You know what? I can get up at 4:30 in the morning. But my son is not always going to be 6, and Catch is not always going to be 15 months. We have to make the things that are important to us and make time for them. Am I helping somebody this morning? Psalm 90 and verse 12 says this. This is the Living Bible, the TLB, not the Travis Lee Bennett version. This is the Living Bible version. Teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. I need help with that. You know, I'll be honest with you. I told you about that book called Today Matters. There was something I read in that. And let me tell you something. I always haven't been good at this. But there was a thing called the Rule of Five in there. And I want to encourage you guys to do this. Not conscientious, but you are going to have to be conscientious about this. And it's something you're going to have to be intentional about. But there's five things that I do throughout the day. There's five things that I want to do every day. And let me tell you something, I'm not always perfect. I don't get all five sometimes. Sometimes I get three. Sometimes I just get two. But here's the deal. I try to conscientiously do these things. I always, every day, I'm in prayer. Whether it's one sentence or I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm going to be praying to the Lord. Here's the second thing. I'm going to read my Bible. Sometimes I listen to my Bible. But most of the time, I read my Bible. And like I said last week, you may say, you know what? On the daily reading, there is so much of an Old Testament. There's so much of a New Testament. There's a Psalm. There's a Proverb. I'm not telling you to do that. But I am telling you this. It will change your life if you have the power of one Scripture in you. So just read the Proverb. Here's a third thing. I'm going to make an impact on people I love the most, and that is my wife and my kids. Somewhere. And there's times where I come home, and it's dark 30. Cody, you know what I'm talking about. It's dark 30. And sometimes I just go in there. I crawl in bed with Addison. I ask her how her day was. I ask her all these different things. But here's the deal. It's important to me to make an impact. Sometimes I go to their room and they're already asleep. But I try to make an impact in their life, in my wife's life. Here's the fourth thing. I make an impact in somebody else. I try to show someone the love of Christ. And that may be at the end of the day, I haven't done anything, and I have to send a text to someone and say, you know what? God loves you. I want to encourage you and tell you I've been thinking about you today and praying for you. Here's the fifth thing. I need to take care of myself. Because sometimes I do all these other things and not this one, and then I find myself under the sheets. And I'm not always good about this one, but I need to take time to take care of myself rather than going to the fountain and seeing the Coke. This is good for me during the fast to go to the water. I know these are practical things, but I hope this is helping you this morning. We need to have the rule of five. And see, here's the deal. This is what the rule of five does. It's, you know, sometimes we get excited about one particular thing, and then we wear ourselves out. The rule of five is this. I'm going to do these five simple things, and it's like cutting down a tree. And then over time, I'm going to go, and that tree is going to be knocked down. Does that make sense? And we have to do these things. We have to be intentional about it. But God will begin to open up doors in your life if we do this, if we begin to do these things. Ecclesiastes 1:14 says this, I observed everything going on under the sun, and really, it is all meaningless, like chasing the wind. You can do this, you can do that, you can be going all the time, but I'm telling you, the Bible says it's like chasing the wind. Here's the second thing. You got to eliminate the non-essentials. I'm almost done. I have one more and I'll be done. You got to eliminate the non-essentials. And you know what those things are in your life. Maybe it's bingo every Saturday with your brother, and you just need to stay home and not gamble your bingo money away. But eliminate the non-essentials. Hebrews 12:1 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. You got to do that. Here's the third thing. Regularly take inventory. You can do all these things, but you need to constantly look back and say, am I continually doing these things? Regularly take inventory. Ask the question, where is my life out of inventory? Where's it at? You got to ask yourself that. Psalm 39:4-5. This is the Living Bible translation again. It says, Lord, help me to realize how brief my time on earth will be. Help me to know what I am here for but a moment more. My life is no longer than my hand. My whole lifetime is but a moment to you. Proud man, frail as breath, a shadow, and all his busy rushing ends in nothing. He heaps up riches for someone else to spend. So this is what we have to do. We have to decide what's important. We have to make time for them, eliminate the non-essentials, and regularly take inventory. The last point that I want to share with you is this. I read to you guys Matthew chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount. And it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I've been talking to you guys about purpose. And it's very important that you see that God has purpose and a plan for your life. And it's easy for us to get out of this whack, out of whack of this, because we live such busy lives, and we're here, we're there, we're doing other things for other people. And you know, going back to my text in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, going back to the very first message, putting God first, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And what's ironic to me, the very next chapter, he's talking about seeking the Lord first. And then the very next chapter is ironic to me. It's the same sermon, but it's amazing to me where he goes. He goes into judge not. Then he says, don't look at the speck in somebody else's eye when you got a whole 2x4 stuck in your own. And so he takes the context from here to here. This is what we don't do. But you know what? We live in this life today where we're talking about fix our attention on the Lord. We don't fix our attention on the Lord. We fix our attention on everybody else. This is a magnifying glass. A lot of you had one of these in the sun and a grasshopper, if you know what I mean, when you were a kid. But this is what we do. He says we need to actually be doing this, fix our attention on the Lord. But what do? We live lives of Facebook, and we constantly fix our attention on somebody else. And we think to ourselves, rather than becoming, we start finding. When really the text is really about us, and he changes it, he says, don't know now, and I'm telling you, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. But I'm telling you, you're going to have a problem with this because you're going to want to judge. You're going to want to take your focus off somebody else, and you're going to want to look at somebody else. You're going to want to fix your attention on somebody else's needs, somebody else's problems. You know what? I know this about that person. She has her hands raised. Look at him. He's got his hands raised, but I know what he did last night. I know what he did last summer. I know what he said to that person when he was at work. And you can't worship the Lord because your attention is on somebody else. He said, don't judge. Don't look at the speck at somebody else. Sometimes we scroll through Facebook, just like I said, we look at other things and we're looking at other people and we think about what we don't have rather than what God's already given us. We think at not rather than what we got. He says, don't judge. Don't look at other people. But you have to fix your attention on the Lord. Isn't it ironic that he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, but then he switches it real quick and he says, no, don't judge. Don't judge. Because he knows us as human nature, we're always going to look at somebody else rather than fixing our attention on the Lord. And so I have this magnifying glass. What we constantly do is we compare ourselves to other people. I'm helping you this morning get your purpose this morning, because people don't have a purpose with their Lord because they think they live their purpose through somebody else. And they get sloppy seconds every other time when God says, fix your attention on me. So what I'm telling you is this. We live a life of Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter. If people still look at Twitter. And really, we need to put the magnifying glass and we need to pick up a mirror. I'm really trying to help you this morning. I hope you get this. Because I believe the power of God has something to shift something inside of your thinking and not looking at other people, but really looking at the king of pop was right. It's the man in the mirror. The mirror looking back at me. That was Justin Timberlake. The other one is Michael Jackson. He said, if I'm going to make the world a better place, better look at yourself and make a change, yeah. But here's the thing. I won't moonwalk for you guys, Brandon. It'll look bad, okay? Although I can move a little bit better being on this fast. But here's the thing. He says, you, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Don't judge, Travis. Don't do it. Don't look at somebody else. Look at yourself. And I'm telling you, you begin to put me first and you not do these other things and look at other people around you, I'm going to tell you, you're going to ask for some things and I'm going to give it to you. You're going to knock and you'll begin to find some things. I'll make greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you begin to see, you know what? I do have a plan. I do have a purpose. These other people out here, here's the thing. The cross, there's a reason why the wood is longer this way than this way. Because it starts here. And when we get this right, it helps everywhere else. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I notice this in my life. When I seek ye first the kingdom of God, God begins to show me things. JD, if you'd come. God begins to show me some things in my life of how I'm going to pour into somebody else. He gives me utterance of how I'll speak into that situation or that situation. Doors that have been closed. But God will begin to open up doors as I begin to look at myself. Here's the thing. If you came in this morning and you're looking for a speck or you're looking for a problem inside of this church, let me tell you something. Let me bypass everything else and tell you, we got issues, we got problems, and we do things wrong. I don't like the way they did that. I don't like the way they did that. But if you fix your attention on that, I'm telling you, you're going to find exactly what you're looking for. But if you're looking for a God who saved you, who set you free, who set you on a rock to stand, who ripped you out of the miry clay and set you on a rock to stand, I'm telling you, you're going to find it. God has a plan for your life. You got to fix your attention on the Lord. Quit looking at other things. Quit comparing yourself to other people. Quit comparing your things, your life to, it's not as good as that other person. Quit fixing your attention on those things. Fix your attention on the Lord. You know what he tells us in Matthew 22? He says, love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. He said, this is the first and the greatest commandment. He said, the second one's as important as the first. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know what happens that I've noticed in my life? And I want you to see this in your life. That when I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, I see this as I do it. As I look in the mirror and I do it for myself, I see this. It's easier for me to love my kids, to love my wife, to love the people that are important to me, because God gives me His love as I look in the mirror of my life.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. For more information about this ministry, please look us up at www.arenaoflifechurch.org or contact the church office at 806-622-8000.